Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, way out in the Pacific Ocean, in a remote location where very few sailors go, lies one of the world's biggest environmental catastrophes. It's not another oil spill. It's the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, a giant floating rubbish dump the size of the Northern Territory. Now, above the water, it's an endless stream of plastic junk. Below the surface of the water, it's a toxic soup of tiny plastic particles that are poisoning the food chain and making its way into the human diet. And what's scary is that all the oceans in the world are probably just as polluted. Captain Charles Moore is the environmentalist who alerted the world to the giant garbage patch back in 1997 after he spent a whole week sailing through it. He's on the line now. Captain Charles Moore, welcome to Open House.
Thank you for having me.
So it was 1997. You're sailing home from California after racing your catamaran in Hawaii. How did you come across this giant garbage patch?
Well, you know, this catamaran was special because it was a Locke Crowther catamaran designed and built in Australia, and it's a work boat. It had twin diesel engines, and I had extra fuel, so after racing, which was basically not to win the race but to test a new mass, we decided just to go to our own latitude, 35 degrees north of Los Angeles, and turn right and head straight for home, basically taking a shortcut. That's why we discovered this patch. That whole week that we traversed it was very, very calm, under 10 knots of wind for a week. So it gave the particles a chance to float up to the surface, and I couldn't come on deck without seeing something. Now, I don't want to your audience to think that this was a mat or a solid dump of waste. It was a particle here and a particle there.
So, well, describe what you did see then and just why it did alarm you.
Well, it was alarming because this is the most remote part of the world ocean. The halfway between Honolulu and Los Angeles is as far as you can get from human civilization anywhere on Earth. I mean, it's a very remote part of the ocean. And it just didn't seem right that I couldn't go on deck without seeing some anthropogenic, meaning human-made debris. You know, it wasn't enough to really note in the log. Like, I didn't see a big TV set or a basketball or none of it appeared hazardous. It was all on the small side.
But you still did come across plastic bags and fishing nets and bottle caps, didn't you?
Not in 1997. In 1999 we did, when we were actually focused on capturing it using nets. We began to see the things that we now associate with what we call the Eastern Garbage Patch.
Yeah. What would we see if we were to travel there now? You said originally you didn't see a lot of really big stuff. It was more the particles. And I want to talk about just how important those particles are. But what would we see these days?
Our most recent voyage in 2009, 10 years on, was quite a revelation. As a matter of fact, I've called it a disgusting plastic cesspool out there now, and I've decided not to return because of the damage that was done to the boat by hitting the debris. There's so much of it now that we were stopped in the middle of the night by fouled propellers in the ghost net masses. We hit wire spool, big wooden spools, hit the bow. We had impacts on the underwing between the two hulls that caused several holes, and I had to bail water out continuously. So this vessel I have, while a Sea Kindly research vessel able to access these remote areas, was beat up pretty bad by the trash this time. And the data that we obtained from our nets showed that the particle size had increased, the weight had increased, and because it was a little bit rougher than the original time, the smaller particles had been dispersed down below. So we ended up getting more larger particles, and that bore out what we saw out there, which was it's just the inputs are so much greater now with globalization. In 1999, China had not embraced the plastic delivery system for goods, you know. They hadn't, the Yangtze River and the Huanghe hadn't been discharging tons of refuse every day into the ocean made out of plastic. You know, the Mekong River in Vietnam wasn't quite, as I've heard, you can see in satellites from the plastic bag. Asia is now online after a decade of embracing the plastic delivery system for goods. And the recycling that takes place worldwide is minuscule compared to the amount of waste that's generated.
Yes,
we're seeing a tremendous increase in the amount of garbage in the ocean, and that's reflected here on the beaches of Hawaii, where I was beachcombing yesterday and found tremendous loads of everything that you can imagine, from toothbrushes to umbrella handles to combs, popsicle sticks, to coat hangers, to hard hats. It's a veritable shopping center on the beaches of the Pacific these days.
Yes. Tell me about how the ocean currents work. How does a garbage patch like this actually occur?
Well, the currents sweep the coasts of Asia and North America. The Kuroshio Current goes from south to north along the coast of Japan and brings debris up to the westerlies and head over toward the United States. Then the California Current heads from north to south and takes debris down past Baja California and back around. So the Equatorial Current and the westerlies are the transportation across the ocean, and the Kuroshio and the California Current are the longitudinal currents along the coast. Mm-hmm. And those four currents combined to give us a kind of what we call a toilet bowl effect, in which you've got an accumulation pattern developing within that series of four currents that travel in a clockwise direction.
Now let's talk about the effects of that, because some people would say, okay, well, it's just a bunch of plastic swimming in the sea. The kinds of effects you're seeing this have on marine life.
Yeah, I noticed in your introduction you said that this wasn't an oil spill, but as a matter of fact, plastic is the solid phase of petroleum. It is from oil, and it's solidified oil, and it's used to suck up the liquid oil. Those booms that they're deploying in Louisiana to stop the oil from coming ashore are made out of the two most common consumer plastics, the polypropylene and the polyethylene. You know, the polyethylene's the bottle, polypropylene's the cap. And they're very effective, what they call lipophilic media. They're oil-loving. So what we've got with all these little plastic particles in the ocean is this sponge for our petroleum-based pollutants, whether it's raw petroleum or herbicides or pesticides or industrial chemicals. Things that are oily stick to these and are transmitted up the food web. Dr. Takata in Japan found that the levels of DDT and PCB and shearwater livers went up dramatically after just a month of being fed plastic pellets culled from Tokyo Bay. So these bits of plastic absorb these pollutants and then transmit them up the food web. This is a serious issue. And not only are they polluting the food chain, they're depriving it of nutrition. These things are non-digestible and non-nutritive. So we're putting the ocean on a plastic diet, and I, for one, don't know where it's going to lead, but it's not a pretty place.
No, because you do wonder, I mean, more and more is being talked about these days about what is happening to the seas and then what happens to humans once they eat the products of the seas. I mean, do you know of any research that's starting to make the connection?
Oh, absolutely. You know, women who had fish meals before giving birth, regular fish meals, you know, a couple times a week for a couple of months preceding delivery, had children with lower head circumference, with ADHD, the attention deficit disorder. Those fish that were from the Great Lakes in the United States, which are one of the first bodies of water to register pollution because they're enclosed and they're near industrial centers. So what we're doing, what we did to the Great Lakes, we're now doing to the entire ocean.
This is Open House, 1-300-40-2020, my number if you have something to throw into the conversation. Captain Charles Moore is the environmentalist that alerted the world to this thing called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, basically a giant floating rubbish dump, basically the size of the Northern Territory. That's right in the center of what they call this fishbowl effect, with all the ocean's currents sweeping all the plastic right into the center. It's actually affecting our food chain. You were talking about countries before, Asian countries, Vietnam, the United States, etc.
Yeah.
Can you trace a particular piece of junk back to its sending country, so to speak? I mean, does junk from Australia get there?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked that. I just got an Australian-made lid off of the beach here in Hawaii,
right?
Very proudly displaying the fact that it was Australian-made, with a kangaroo on the lid. The scientists in Japan have asked me to collect lighters here in Hawaii because they're identifying origin by the markings on the cigarette lighters. We picked up one from Vietnam yesterday. That's the only real work that has been done to date. The only pie chart I've seen with, you know, litter on a beach divided up into the countries of origin has been the work of this Japanese scientist that traced it through the markings on cigarette lighters. We still don't have a forensic method to trace it based on the chemical composition of the plastic, but I'm hopeful that that will come. I think we really need to. Now, with the sophistication we have with these DNA-type markers, you know, every manufacturer should have a label inside their plastic so that we can trace it. But, you know, that's a ways off.
And we've been talking about the Pacific Ocean. Are there similar kind of dumps in other oceans as well?
Yeah, actually, I'll be speaking at a conference where Nikolai Maximenko will give his, tomorrow at the University of Hawaii in Hilo, he will give his data identifying five subtropical gyres, which he thinks are garbage patches. And one of my colleagues, Dr. Marcus Erickson, at the Algolita Marine Research Foundation, has just returned from a Dutch ship tracing Darwin's route from Perth to Mauritius through the Indian Ocean, and they developed a trawl that found the edges of the Indian Ocean garbage patch. It was highly impactful.
So, Captain Charles Moore, what do you think should be done about these plastic garbage dumps in the ocean? What can we do to obviously minimize what is a significant threat, not just on marine life, but actually, you know, for our own health?
It's absolutely, yes. Well, you know, we used to have a conservation ethic, which was symbolized by statements like waste not, want not, and a place for everything and everything in its place. And, you know, we need to have respect for our products. Products are the labor of human beings. They embody the love and care and the manufacturing expertise of the factory and the factory worker that produce these products. And this idea that we should make more and more of things that should be tossed away, it just goes against the grain. It's just not the way we should be living our lives, creating waste. Everything has value. We're leaving the age of extraction and entering the age of reuse. We need to start thinking about getting our raw materials, what factories call their feedstocks, from used goods. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to do that, we need to promote those who develop methods for giving us high-quality feedstock from used goods. That has to be a government priority, and it's not right now.
Yes.
You can't go to any university that I know of anywhere in the world and major in recycling. But it's a very complex subject, especially when it comes to plastics. There's so many different kinds of plastics. The polymer is degraded easily. It melts at a very low temperature. It's not purified in the recycling process like glass, aluminum, and steel, which melt at such high temperatures that they drive off contaminants. So it's a very tricky proposition getting high-quality feedstocks out of plastic, and we should be subsidizing researchers who are investigating how to do that.
Yeah, and you actually see sometimes now that recycled plastic is being used for some forms of, say, public grounds equipment, might be chairs or maybe some sort of swings or something for the kids. It's starting to come through, but you don't see a lot of it.
Yeah, well, you know, we really need long-lasting ripped bridges and roads and poles and pilings. You know, if we can make those kinds of things out of plastic, I'm not anti the benefits of plastic. I mean, if you've got an artificial hip, you don't want that artificial hip biodegrading.
Yes.
You want a very resilient, high-tech plastic, which is non-toxic, as your artificial hip. And there's plenty of polymer. The majority of the world's chemists today are polymer chemists, and they're working, making fantastic new polymers. They can even build them molecule by molecule. Unfortunately, nature, when we leave those polymers with her, she has to disassemble them molecule by molecule, and none of her creatures can consume them until each one of those polymers has been broken apart, and we don't know how long that takes. It may actually be centuries.
Yes. You've also suggested some other creative ideas as well, like cars having disposal units in them for fast food rubbish.
Well, you know, people are living in their automobiles, and people are spending more time commuting, which is unfortunate. I embrace the local food movement. I embrace the slow food movement, the idea that to eliminate packaging. But if you've got to have people living in their cars, then the folks who manufacture those cars ought to have some way to dispose of them. Once we got rid of cigarette lighters and ashtrays, there's a lot of cars with really hardly any place to put rubbish, so people are pulling off to the side of the road and dumping it to get it out of the way. I think it's highly rational to have a trash compactor as part of the equation.
That's a great idea. What do you think about the plastic PET bottle? I mean, should we be going back to glass or something, or what?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The PET bottle needs to be phased out. Dr. Jörg Ullmann, who studies European freshwater snails, had a control group, and just on a hunch, he took some of his snails and put them in the PET bottle, and they made, in the water, just the water you and I would be drinking, the females made a lot more eggs than the control group. So there are estrogenic compounds in those bottles. We don't need to be feeding our infants and our children with the illusion that plastic is somehow cleaner than tap water. That's absolutely false, and we're being made obese in part, not just by lack of exercise and a high-calorie diet. We're being made obese by chemicals in plastic. It's been shown that bisphenol A changes insulin metabolism such that laboratory rats given the exact same diet and exercise, and one of them exposed to this plasticizer, will be twice as large as the other one. So we've got a situation where we have to start thinking about these mixtures of chemicals that were unknown before 1950, what they're doing to our bodies. And
yes,
plastic is a big player in that equation.
Yes. So that's all about how we can actually stop the problem at its cause. But what about the giant garbage patch that lies in the Pacific right now? Can it be cleaned up in any way?
Well, there are certainly people trying. Mary Crowley of Project Kaisei is a charter operator, and she's getting chartered fishing boats together to go with a barge out there and try to get 10, I think she wants to get 100 tons of debris this summer. And that's fine. Beach cleanups are fine. Removing the stuff from the ocean is fine. But our research showed, you know, just from the L.A. area in 3 days, 30 tons going in by the river.
Wow.
So it's like trying to bail out the bathtub while you've got the water coming in.
Yes.
You know, you've got to shut off the spigot if you're going to make a difference. And that's why I'm focused more, less on cleanup and more on prevention.
Yes, understandably so. Well, fascinating to talk to you, Charles, and thanks for your time. We'll certainly be thinking much more about number one, using plastic, and certainly number two, disposing of it in a much more thoughtful way. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you so much for your interest.
Captain Charles Moore there. He's the environmentalist who discovered this giant Pacific garbage patch, a huge garbage patch, basically the size of the Northern Territory. Algalita.org is his website address, A-L-G-A-L-I-T-A, algalita.org.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.